find a way to do that that would be socially acceptable in these days. So anyway, we're glad you're here. You braved the elements. You braved the time change. You even braved the virus to come to church. So blessings be upon you. Thanks for coming. We are starting a new series today called Power and Presence. This series is about the Holy Spirit. We're going to spend about 5 weeks doing this one. And this is part of a larger series that we're just calling What We Believe. And we're going through some of the basic values and vision values that we have as a church, saying this is what's important to us, and these are the things that we have kind of used as identifiers for us to say this is who we are. And so this series on the Holy Spirit is just an extension of that series. We're going to be talking about who the Holy Spirit is. We're going to talk about what he does. We're talking about what the Bible would say about his work among us. How does that actually play out in all of our lives? It's going to be talking about how do we actually engage with the Holy Spirit. Topics specifically will include these things: the Holy Spirit, his personhood, and his work in and among us. That'll be today. Next week, we'll be talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and New Testament, comparing and contrasting those things and finding the relevance for us today through that. The week after that, we're talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The next week, we'll be talking about the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the week right before Easter, we'll be talking about being empowered to be his witnesses by the Holy Spirit. So as we were talking about and brainstorming about this topic, we really trying to get a full breadth of what the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. But in my studies this week, what I found was there's just way too much to confine. There's just a lot. 5 weeks is not nearly enough. Whole books have been written and whole courses have been designed. So 5 weeks is just pretty much a basic overview. And especially for today, I'm supposed to be talking about this, the power and the presence and the personhood of who the Holy Spirit is. And as I'm looking at that, thinking that would be 4, 5, 6 weeks of material right there. So I'm going to be going through a ton of Scripture, and I'm going to be probably skipping over some of your favorites or some that you think might be relevant. Doesn't mean they're not important. It's just that we just don't have time for everything to be brought out. So hopefully by the end of today, you'll have a good idea and of who the Holy Spirit is and all that. But hopefully even more than that, that we'll come to an understanding of this is something I want, I need in my life. That this is a person that is relevant for my life today. That the Holy Spirit is not just some entity or force, but he's a person, a person of the Godhead, the triune God that we serve. And in understanding that, we have to see that in his personhood, he's personal. That there's a relevance for us personally in that, in knowing the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit operating in us. Too much, I think, especially in the Western, more rational world, in church, we kind of reduce the Holy Spirit to be maybe a name or maybe an entity, but we really don't see him as a part of the triune God that we serve. We don't see him that way, and because the Holy Spirit is misunderstood and probably minimized in the Western world, because we're so rational, we tend to eliminate anything that might be considered subjective or can't be quantifiable. We tend to stay away from the topic because it's spooky. If you, like me, come from an upbringing in church that was very much not opposed to the Holy Spirit, but very minimally spoken of. In fact, I don't ever remember hearing anything about the Holy Spirit in my early church years. We have to understand that the Spirit is of great significance in our lives today, of great relevance for us. And we also have to see that the Scripture has tons to say about it. Old Testament, New Testament, throughout, all over the place. If you just punch in a search engine and look for Spirit in the Bible, it'll be listed over 500 times. In the New Testament alone, it's like 150, 180 times. Just talking about the significance of who the Holy Spirit is. This Holy Spirit is not just some thing, some amorphous blur that we can't quite quantify, but this is the person of the Godhead that is actually the active agent of God in this day and age. This is who we are looking to do the things that he's called us to do. We can have great strategies, we can have great plans, and even our vision and intents can be really, really good, but without the Holy Spirit to actually empower those things, it's just us. And that's really not significant. I mean, as smart as you are, you're just not that good. And all of us have this tendency, possibly, to be able to reduce the work of the Holy Spirit because it's not quantifiable, it's not rational, it's not objective, it's subjective, and it's a sensing and a knowing. And even if we see the operation of the Holy Spirit, like we saw this morning in a couple words that were given us, the Holy Spirit is operating. We might reduce that to say, oh, that was very clever of them. Or, oh, that was great perceptive thought that you put into that. And we can take the Holy Spirit out of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we just have to be really aware of that right from the start of this series, that we can't misunderstand who he is, and we can't misidentify the work that he is doing. He's commonly thought of as an impersonal force or an entity. And this is just not the way the Bible describes him. In fact, even referring to the Holy Spirit as he kind of gives credence to the idea of the personhood of him. Because he doesn't have arms and legs and feet and all that kind of stuff does not mean he's not a person. Even in the way that God is actually described as, he has a personality, he has a character. And we've assigned him some anthropomorphisms and created some sense of humanness to him just so we can grasp who God the Father is. And the Old Testament speaks of God the Father. And in Jesus, the coming of the Christ he was actually God incarnate, God with us. And we could see him, and we read historically who Jesus was. The Holy Spirit's not that way. It's just a little bit more vague in us. We can't really assign to him physical attributes or a sense of reality or a rational objectivity. And so in that, it creates confusion to say, well, I don't know who he is, and I don't know what he does, and I really don't understand him, so I'm just going to disregard him. And that's a great error on our part, a great error in the church to stay away from the teaching of who the Holy Spirit is. Just because it's a little misunderstood or a little bit vague does not mean that we should not try to get a little bit more doctrine and theology corrected around who he is. So, the Holy Spirit is God. He's a third person of the Trinity. Only as that divine person can the Holy Spirit be to believers a comforter and a counselor and a helper and an advocate and all of those things that the titles that he's ascribed to in the scripture. He's mysterious, absolutely. Check this out. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. He's talking to Nicodemus, the great message that he had toward him in getting saved. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. This is kind of the trademark of the Holy Spirit. We see the effects, and we see or sense that something is happening, but we really can't say, there he is. Can't do that. It's just hard for us to define. And so as a result of that, we shy away from it. We say, I don't know what that was. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. In fact, the word spirit in the Greek is the word pneuma, which is the word for wind or breath. It's just it's a invisible force, invisible person, but yet at the same time, you see the effects. You know something's there. You know something's operating, but we just can't quite pin it down, and so it makes us nervous. We stay away from that. We have a much less difficult time with God the Father and God the Son, don't we? I mean, we even talk about, I have Jesus in my heart, right? Well, who we have in us is the Holy Spirit. We don't have Jesus in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Now, that's really hard to define and hard to understand. But it's the reality of it. When I say I invited Jesus into my heart, I'm actually saying I invited the Holy Spirit to make me alive, and now he resides in me. That's the more scriptural way to be able to say that I got saved. So, anyway, here's some quotes from various people, dead and alive, that kind of help define a little bit more in the vernacular what it really means to operate in the Spirit. Here's Augustine. He says, without the Spirit, we can neither love God nor keep his commandments. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to even help us to understand who God is and that we need him. And then he empowers us to actually live for him. Without him, we can't do either of those things. We can't gut it out enough. We can't be tough enough. We can't be smart enough. We can't be disciplined enough to live the way God wants us to live without the Holy Spirit functioning within us. D.L. Moody said, you might as well try to see without eyes, hear without ears, or breathe without lungs as to try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. To not need the Holy Spirit or to claim that we don't need the Holy Spirit, you might as well just give up on the Christian life. I can do this because I'm good enough, I'm disciplined enough, I'm regimented in my lifestyle. You can't. The Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to actually do that. Billy Graham said, the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. How are we even to read and understand Scripture if the Holy Spirit doesn't illuminate our minds to get it? Yeah. It doesn't work that way. We're not smart enough to understand spiritual truth. What is spirit is spiritually discerned. And if we don't have the Spirit to help us discern, we can't get it. That's why people who are not born again read the Bible and says, this is gobbledygook to me. Don't understand it. Doesn't mean anything. The only way that it even makes sense to us is if the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds enough to be able to get it. The reason that you're going to get or not get what's being said today is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. In your mind, illuminating your brain cells to be able to say, I comprehend who the Holy Spirit is, or I don't get this at all. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Francis Chan says, the church becomes irrelevant when it becomes purely a human creation. We are not all we were made to be when everything in our lives and churches can be explained apart from the work and the presence of the Spirit of God. What we do here as an organization, we could probably do a fairly good job. I mean, we have some pretty talented people, and we have some smart people around here, and some that are really good administratively, and some that are good with, you know, talking and steering and all that kind of stuff. We could do okay, but we become irrelevant if it's not the work of the Holy Spirit that makes that alive. If the Holy Spirit is functioning, he can take really simple people like us and make something really profound happen in the midst. Look what he did on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came down and filled the lives of people up, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and simple people who days before were denying Jesus were preaching to the masses and thousands getting saved. That's not because they got all of a sudden smart. They took a college course on group dynamic and they figured out how to speak very well in public. That happened as a result of the Holy Spirit flooding their lives and pouring out of them. And this is what the work of the Spirit is all about. It's not about him enhancing some of these great things that we're already good at and making them a little bit better here and there. It's about us becoming flooded with and allowing that to pour out of us the rivers of living water that Jesus talked about. This personhood of Christ is a difficult concept just because of the things that I've already talked about, but the scripture is very clear that he is a person, all right? The distinctive characteristics of personality ascribed to the Holy Spirit by Scripture are very clear. It says that he gives us the knowledge of the deep things of God. He has a will. He has a mind. He can love. He can grieve, and he can be grieved. All of these are attributes of a person, not of a force or an entity. That all those emotions and the actions that are prompted by those emotions are the actions of a person, not of an entity. And so when we try to conceive of who the Holy Spirit is, try not to conceive of him as this thing, this amorphous blob that just kind of every once in a while inundates us, and then all of a sudden we're empowered. And also, don't conceive of him as Casper the Friendly Ghost, because that's not it either, that there's just this sense of bodily disconnect, and he just kind of wafts in, and all of a sudden we're filled with him. The Holy Spirit is a person. As much as Jesus is a person, and God has a personality as well. There's personhood in that. Here's the promise that of the Holy Spirit, just in real brief terms, okay? Here's a few promises that Jesus made. In John 7:37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about himself? That's a question. No. Well, who'd he say it about? The Spirit. He said this about the Spirit. He said that out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The Spirit is going to come. He said it about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Spirit's coming. He's forewarning him. Hey, guys, the Spirit's coming. This is going to happen. And something's going to happen when you see the Spirit coming into you. There's going to be something that happens as a result. He said, it's going to flow out of you. Rivers of living water are going to pour out of you because of the work of the Holy Spirit. John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, he'll give you another helper, capital H, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In verse 15 of the same chapter, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. Again, he's a person. Jesus ascribes to him a gender. He. He, not it. We talk about the Holy Spirit sometimes like it's an it. It's not an it, it's a he. He, the Holy Spirit, will come. He'll teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and let them be afraid. I am going to send the Helper to you. The Holy Spirit is coming to you. John 16:5. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Why? Jesus, we want you. He says, no, it's going to be better. It's going to be better when I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them even right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. And what he does in us and through us is not to be able to say, man, Holy Spirit's working in me. It's to be able to say, isn't God wonderful? Yeah. Isn't Jesus doing a great work? The Holy Spirit is working in, and he's drawing everybody's attention to God, just pushing all of our focus off of ourselves, saying, God is amazing. And this is really crucial that we understand this, because if we don't get this, it becomes about this power fest that we just like, oh, God's really working in me, and God's, and like it's about us. It's not about us. But the Holy Spirit's in us to draw everybody's attention to God. Everything happens to redirect to the glory of God. And this is really important as a result of the Holy Spirit's work, that we always are drawing attention back to the one who sent us, the Holy Spirit, in the first place. The Greek word for this helper is paraclete, parakleos. And it's someone who advocates or counsels or stands alongside or supports, that reinforces. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reinforces the glory of God. He reinforces and supports who God is among the people. And he's the active agent of change in this world today. Jesus is here no longer. God operates through the Holy Spirit in this world. And all of the good things that happen and glorifying God and all of that comes from the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit is needed and is absolutely necessary. And we have a longing for that even in our lives. And there's a story in Ezekiel talking about the vision that Ezekiel had of this valley full of dry bones. And as he was going throughout the valley of dry bones, he sees these just bones everywhere. And all of a sudden it says there's a rattling, and these bones started coming together, and sinew started forming, and muscle tissue and skin all starts forming, but yet they weren't alive. And it says that the Spirit of God breathed life into them, and they came to life. And it's essentially a metaphor of our lives, that we're like that. We have no perception of God before we have this understanding of who Jesus is and all that. We have no life in us. We're breathing, but we're not alive. We look like humans, but we're not alive. It says the Holy Spirit needs to breathe that life into us. And so we actually come to life as a result of the Spirit's working in our lives. It's not a spooky kind of a weird horror show kind of a scene. It's just this idea that the Holy Spirit breathing life into us is what we really are looking for. And too many of us are looking to live life with the absence of the Holy Spirit. Without his presence, we're just kind of breathing and living and doing the stuff we do. But without the vitality of the Spirit within us, there's no functioning in the realm that brings that fulfillment of longing that we have. And too many of us are in that world where we're just kind of going through the motions and even doing spiritual stuff or spiritually encouraged stuff. We might not even find life in that because we're looking for that with the absence of the Holy Spirit. But we're doing that without his life flowing through us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. He's talking about living in a right way that glorifies God. But he says, don't do it because you better or else. You better live right or God's going to be mad at you. He's saying, you need to live right because your body is a temple of God. That the Holy Spirit resides within you. You carry God with you wherever you go. And how can we defile the temple of God? That's us. He says, you have this Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is residing in you. Live in a way that is proper and brings glory to the one who resides. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God. They'll be my people. He says, you're already the temple. The Holy Spirit is residing. You have God present within you. Honor that. Live in such a way that it honors the one who is living within. Temples are very holy places. In the Old Testament, when the temple, the tabernacle, the was the residence of God. Yeah. It was where God, his presence resided there. And he says, you are that temple now. In New Testament theology, it's been transferred from this building isn't holy. No building is holy because there's no God there. But God is in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. As a result of that, my life should reflect the holiness that is residing within me. Yeah? Additionally, we're just not doing this by ourselves, right? We have other people around us who are also the temple of God, that we have other people around us who have the Holy Spirit residing within them. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes it this way. He says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So you're a temple because the Holy Spirit resides in you, but the people around you are being joined together because we are the temple of God, corporately as well, not just individually, so that I live my life in a way that glorifies God is important, not just to me, but it's important to you. And it's important that you live that way too, because we're being joined together, and we're going to represent this thing because we're a temple of God. We are the temple of God, joined together. In Him, you're also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That you live that way is important to me. And that I live that way is important to you. And when I step away from that mentality and when I say, well, it's my life, I can do what I want, I'm disjoining myself from the body of Christ, from being the temple of God. I'm saying, no, this part doesn't matter to the temple of God. Oh, yeah, it really does. It really does. That we all live with the mindset that I'm being joined together with the people of God to be an honorable vessel for Him. That our light would shine brightly, that our message would go out with force and power, that people would recognize the glory of God through the work of the church, because I'm being joined together, my temple, your temple, being joined together to be the temple. It's a really big deal. Amen. Wayne Grudem says this, the work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world, especially in the church. Too often we see the work of God being an individualized thing. It's about me and Jesus. It's about me and the Spirit. It's about me growing up. Well, it is. But the bottom line, the most important overriding aspect of that is that you grow up so that we grow up. You grow up so God's glorified in this church. That you grow up and be joined together so that everything is redirected. All the attention and focus is redirected to God because we're a temple. We are the temple of God being built together. There's a lot of things that he works at in this day and age, and I'm going to go through a few of them. In the upcoming weeks, we'll be talking about a lot more in specifics. This is kind of an overview. For one, he's a guarantee and the seal of our salvation. In Ephesians 1:13, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He's that guarantee. He's the seal who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. How do you know? What's your assurance that that you are His? It's the Holy Spirit in you. It's the Holy Spirit operating through you. Now, if you don't have a good understanding of that, or if you don't have that vibrant and alive within you, you might think, well, I don't know why. Am I saved? Am I a child of God? I don't know. But when the Holy Spirit is alive, active, moving in you, and you are filled with the Spirit, there's no doubt at all that, man, I'm a child of God. I'm part of the kingdom. He saved me. He sealed me. He's guaranteeing this by the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm sold on this idea. I am part of the kingdom. He has done a work in me. It says that He's the evidence of being a child of God. In Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's this assurance deep down inside of us, given by the Spirit, that says, I'm a child of God. I'm 100% sold out to the idea that I am a son of God. I'm sold out to that. I don't have any doubt about that. The Spirit has confirmed that in my life over and over and over again. It's like, I'm a child of God. We should all have that same assurance. Like every time the enemy comes and casts doubt, no, you call yourself a Christian. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. The Spirit's confirmed it in my spirit. I'm a child of God. There's no doubt in my mind. The Spirit is operating in me to reaffirm over and over again the reality of that. He's the confirmation of being God's possession. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. But conversely, if you do have the Spirit of Christ, you do belong to Him. And the promise of the Holy Spirit has been given, and it's been received by us. When we come to Christ, we're given the Holy Spirit, where He resides in us. It's such a reconfirmation of who God has made us to be. He's changed us. We used to belong to us, but now we belong to Him. We're part of His possession. It's just the way it is. He gives a spiritual resurrection now and a physical resurrection in the future. The Spirit does this. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. It's the Spirit who gave Jesus the resurrection. Jesus' life came through the Spirit. And He says that same Spirit operates in you as well. That your lives in this world, you've been changed. You're now immortal. You're now heaven-bound rather than earthly-bound. You're different now. Yeah. We have life in this world, and we have life in the next. And the Holy Spirit is the one that makes that thing reality in us. He has made us alive in Him. He transforms us to be more like Jesus. So in this world, what difference does the Holy Spirit make? Well, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, what? Who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's transforming your life to be more like Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit operating through you is the one that convicts you when you have blown it. When you're working in sin and you feel cruddy about it, that's not your conscience. That's your conscience made alive by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in you is saying, not a good idea. That was a dumb thing to do. Here's what you need to do as a result of that. You need to repent. You need to confess. You need to make it right. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not you. You're not smart enough, right? And everything in you says, no, I don't want to do that. No, I'm fine. No, I'm not guilty. What says you're guilty is the Holy Spirit. And the course of action that comes out of that is the Holy Spirit. And the boldness to be able to carry out that course of action is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is making us alive. He's transforming us. The power of the Holy Spirit in us is what we can credit for becoming more and more like Jesus. We can't credit us. Yeah. I'm so good. Man, I'm good. I'm just amazing. Aren't I crazy? This is amazing stuff. I mean, look how righteous I am and how humble, you know? It's so ridiculous to even think that way, right? But the Spirit in us is the one who's doing all of that work in us. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, we'll be talking quite a bit about this later on in the series. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit. Look how many times it's referring back to, guys, this is not us, this is the Spirit. Through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by your good looks. By the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Every one of those things, the words that are given that we say, man, that's awesome, that's amazing, you're so smart. No, the Holy Spirit is so good. When there's an outburst of power where people are actually getting healed, they've been in places where that's happening, I've been there. It's like, holy moly, what's going on here? Wow, they just touched the people and they were healed. It's like, they must be really holy. No. The Holy Spirit is doing really good stuff. We have to credit the one who empowers. We can't credit any of that stuff unto ourselves, right? Yeah. We just have to say, God is just so good. He's amazing. Harold Horton said this, spiritual gifts are as optional as eyesight. You can walk without eyes, but you can't see without them. Spiritual gifts are like that. Yeah, can we operate without spiritual gifts? Sure. Are we going to be very good? No. No, we're going to be terrible at what we do without spiritual gifts functioning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Corrie Ten Boom said, trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. Anybody say amen to that? Oh, my goodness gracious. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. That's an amazing deal. It's so real. Because if you've ever tried to do stuff in your own strength, work in the kingdom with your own strength, you'll find you just get exhausted and worn out. And it's a pathetic exercise. It really is. But once you see that the power of God is actually using what you're doing and he's flowing through you and empowering you to do that, it's like, man, I didn't even think I did anything. Like, how many times have you heard somebody say, man, I didn't think I was really even, you know, like I wasn't that profound or I didn't really do much of any impact. I was actually kind of surprised at what I was able to do or say. You ever heard people say that? Well, it's the Holy Spirit doing stuff that just beyond your capabilities. The Holy Spirit performs miracles. Paul was well acquainted with the miracle working power of God, and he talked about it numerous times. I just pulled out two different verses that he mentions that in. He says, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing of faith? He who supplies the Spirit to us and by that Spirit enables us to have the faith to pray and see miracles actually happen, that's not our work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. 1 Corinthians 2:3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but they were in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yeah. That there are a lot of eloquent speakers, right? Paul even says, that's not me. But what he did when he came into town was he just allowed the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does. And he demonstrated who God was by the work of the Spirit through him. He said, it wasn't because I was such a great speaker that you see God. It was because God was actually at work among you that you see God. And I believe that way too often we forsake that part of this whole package that we're desiring to see happen in our lives, in our day, in our church, and all that, that we deny the power of God. We deny that God could actually work in a way that performs miraculously so that things happen that cannot naturally happen. And we say, well, you know, that's kind of hocus pocus and fraudulent, and, you know, we've seen too many of those, you know, those guys. Never mind. So, if we do that, we take away the one thing that distinguishes the church from every other institution. Because if we do that, if we become humanitarian, okay, that's good. But there are a lot of other humanitarian institutions that do a way better job with that than we do. But if we become humanitarian and carry that out through and with the power of the Holy Spirit, oh man, then you're hitting on all cylinders then, right? If we try to lift society by our efforts of feeding the poor, educating the masses, building families, none of those things are wrong or bad. They're all wonderful. But can't we do it better if we count on the power of the Holy Spirit going through everything that happens, right? Can't we see more stuff happen in lives of people if we really are relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? I believe that's what God is really desiring of us. Let's have the worship team come up. I'm going to land a plane. When we understand the person of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, his presence among us, when we understand that, it changes the way we approach stuff. Even as I was studying this week, I just felt like, man, I think I've shortchanged the Holy Spirit in my own life. I feel like I've, you know, I understand it theologically, and maybe I mentally assent to that, but I'm not really implementing the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think what God's really calling for is for us to give credit where credit is due and really call out to the one who can do the things that we're looking for to be done in the worlds that we live in. And if we can do that, it changes our perspective. It changes our input. It changes the way that we can impact the society that we live in. J.I. Packer said this, "The Christian's life in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from him, not only will there be no lively believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations at all." If we deny the power of the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? Is essentially what he's saying. Why screw around? Let's just call this a fraud and go home, right? If we believe that, it changes everything. It changes what the purpose of what we're trying to accomplish. It changes the outcome of what we're trying to accomplish. It changes our lives individually and collectively. It changes our society that we live in. It changes the schools that our kids go to. It changes everything if we have the power of the Holy Spirit coursing through us in everything we do and give him the leeway to do that. Recognize that he is the agent of change that's going to make stuff happen. You can't do that without him. Yeah. It is only through his power that we're going to see that kind of stuff go on. Amen? Yeah. All right. Let's all stand up. read one more quote, then I want to have us spend a little bit of time praying. And this is a quote by Samuel Chadwick. It's quite old, but it says, "Men ablaze are invincible. Hell trembles when men kindle. The stronghold of Satan is proof against everything but fire. The church is powerless without the flame of the Holy Ghost. Destitute of fire, nothing else really counts. Possessed of fire, nothing else really matters. The one vital need is fire. Without the flame and fervor of the Holy Ghost, the church will never accomplish its mission." I'm telling you guys, that's where the key to all of this stuff is. We could be clever, we could be rich, we could be popular, we can be powerful, we can do all of that and never accomplish the mission of God. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be any of those things. And you can accomplish the mission of God. God has used all kinds of very incompetent people and things. He used a donkey, for crying out loud. He can probably use you as well, all right? So, can we do this? Can you just bow your head, close your eyes, and just allow the Holy Spirit, even in this time, to just saturate your thinking. Desire, let that desire stir up. Ask him to inundate you, to come in through every thought and into every future thing that you've got planned and all of that. Just, Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. God, we love you. God, we need you. God, bring us to the end of our self-sufficiency. Stir up a hunger and thirst for you. Help us to recognize our need for you. Help us to shed all parts of ourselves that are just about us. God, come. Flood through every part of us. Every thought, every action, every relationship, every intention, every motivation. God, would you come? Holy Spirit, fill us. Empower us. Create in us a dependency, a reliance upon you. Increase our awareness, our sensitivity to you. Help us to hear you. Help us to act in accordance with your desires. Holy Spirit, come. Father, that you'd build this house as a temple for your residents collectively, that we would represent you well, that we would be people empowered by your Spirit, bringing glory to everything, in everything that happens to you, Father. Help us to shed everything that doesn't come from you, not in our own effort, but just as a through the empowerment that you give, God, just to walk away from those things that would detract from the glory of God in our lives. Fill us, God. Fill us, God. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us, that you will not leave us alone, but you sent the helper for us. You sent the one, the only one, who could actually make this whole thing work. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming. Thank you for empowering. Thank you for enriching our lives. Thank you for the work that you do to make us more like you. Thank you. God, increase our awareness and sensitivity to you. Help us. Help us to know and see you. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Bless this people. Help us to represent you well this week as we go out into the community and our jobs and our families. God, we want to represent you well. So Holy Spirit, would you act powerfully in us? Give us boldness. Proclaim your word. Help us, God. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you guys.